Our second scripture reading today, it comes from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. So today we begin a new series I've titled Almighty God, and we're going to be looking at God from the perspective of God the Father, and God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. And I've set up these sermon series, including the past two, kind of going in a general direction of understanding who God is and understanding who we are in relation to him. So we start out with looking at the meta-narrative of God's presence and salvation history. Then we dove deeper into John 3, looking at the being born again. And now, as we are able in being born again, born from above, our souls transformed, new creation, we're able to come before the Father. And so we're going to look at God the Father today. And I was watching a couple of videos this past week, and there's a comedian called Michael Jr., but he also does, he's almost like a preacher, but he's just a really funny preacher. And just a little caution, when you start watching things a lot, you start thinking, well, I can do that. Which is kind of dangerous because, no, I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I'll probably throw in some jokes and they'll go down in flames. It's okay. But when I was watching this guy, Michael Jr., he was talking about people try to find their what. What do I do with my life? What am I supposed to do in this crazy world? And he's saying you can't know your what until you know your why. But you can't know why until you know who. So you know God. And so I've kind of taken that to heart, and I want us to really understand who God is, who we are in relation to God, which gives us our why, which then gets to the what God has put you here to do, what God has put on your heart to do, what passion has he given you. Of course, that's going to come in like 4 weeks when we go into the gifts of the Spirit. But today, I want to look at Psalm 100, because this is a very short psalm, but it gives us a really good illustration and good image of who God is in just a very short 5 verses. So in verse 1 of Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Even in this one short sentence, we can tell something very, very important about God. When you're reading your scriptures, you'll see the small caps Lord. And this is the name the psalmist uses throughout the all of Psalm 100. And when you see the small cap Lord, that is how the English translation has translated the personal name Yahweh. Yahweh God. It's the name that God gave Moses. And from that, we can see that God is a personal God. Because we know that the scriptures are God-breathed. This is God's word, and he has given us his personal name, Yahweh. So shout for joy to Yahweh, all the earth. So God is a personal God. Verse 2. Worship the Lord again with the small caps. So worship Yahweh with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, the psalmist does something interesting throughout this bit of poetry in that he uses parallelism in that he makes a statement and then the following statements expound upon that thought, that idea. And when we look at the first word in that verse, worship. NIV says worship, but if you look at some other translations, such as the ESV, it will say serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the interesting thing about translations is the NIV brings out the intended meaning. It's not as a wooden, hard translation as some of the other ones. So when you think of the NASB or ESV, it's more of a straight translation. So if you take these two together and understand that the original audience would be hearing to serve the Lord is to worship the Lord, and to worship the Lord is to serve the Lord. That's the idea that the original audience would be hearing. Remember, when we look at Scripture and we want to understand its meaning, we need to go back to the original context. Who was God speaking to? What was going on? What would they have heard? And what is that message that we can then transport to our time? And that is, to serve is to worship, and to worship is to serve. And we do this with gladness, and we come before him with joyful songs. As we get into verse 3, we start to understand why we would do this. Know that Yahweh is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Again, we are seeing that God is a personal creator God. So now that we're adding the creator. So let's pause there for a second. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth. Now, some of you are probably wondering, what's this weird picture over here? Probably thinking, okay, John, you could have found a better cross to put up there, a little more elaborate. But this one has a cool story. This isn't a cross per se. This is a picture from the Hubble telescope. Now, when they got the Hubble telescope working, the NASA scientists decided to see how far into the universe they could see. Like, wow, this is amazing. Okay, let's look at one of these galaxies that we've been looking at for a while. How far can we zoom in on it? Kind of like kids with a new microscope, right? Want to see how far you can dig down into something. Well, they aimed the Hubble telescope at the M51 Whirlpool Galaxy, and they zoomed in and in and in. They wanted to see the center of that galaxy. And as the scientists are reveling in their technology, what did they find? A cross. They called it X Factor, but even the foundations of the universe, God put something out there for the scientists to find with their magnificent telescope to see the heavens, and God says, I'm here. Now, this one is roughly 31 million light years away, but so far, our telescopes can see roughly 14 billion light years. Now, as we start looking out into the cosmos and trying to figure out how big the cosmos is, we have to change the way we think about measurement, because you can't use miles and kilometers anymore. When you're talking about distances so vast, we have to say light years. How long does it take light to travel? And we think of light, you flip a switch, it's there, right? But to give you some context, it takes roughly 8 minutes from our sun to Earth, for the light to go from the sun to the earth. And I'm trying to remember the exact number, but I think light travels somewhere around 186,242 miles per second, somewhere around 671 million miles per hour. And it takes light a full 8 minutes to get from our sun to here. But if we look out into the cosmos and 14 billion light years out, God made all of that just by speaking it, by saying, "Let there be light." But that amazing, awesome God who just spoke the universe into existence, we are his people. He is our shepherd. How amazing is that? It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That is mind-boggling to me. Because relative to the universe, we're like subatomic particles. Itty-bitty tiny little things. And we look at an ant and think, "Oh, I'm going to get some spray or I'm going to squish that." But God made the entire universe and looks down on us and says, "You are my precious loved child. I am your God." So verse 4 goes on to say, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." After thinking about that last verse, I'm thinking, definitely, yes, we're coming in on bended knee into his presence. We give thanksgiving. We give praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, the personal name, Yahweh, God. Verse 5, "For Yahweh is good, and his love endures forever." So think about that for a second. The Lord is good. Now, when we use that phrase today, he's good, it's kind of a subjective term that we hear from, "Oh, that's good, that could be good." He even has some people saying, you know, some things are neither good nor bad. But we have to look at the full verse. Why is the psalmist saying, "Yahweh, God, is good"? Because his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. Consider our relationships that we have. How often do we find a relationship where you can say that this person, their love is unconditional? They will always be there. They are faithful in every circumstance you come to. When you have a friend like that, you tend to hold on to them, and we all desire to make more and more of those relationships. But even if you think of the best person in your life, you have to magnify that a million times in order to come close to who God is and the good and the love that he has shown his people throughout all of salvation history. Back when God was speaking with Abraham, there was one of the moments where he told Abraham to take sacrifices, split them in half, and set them apart. And it was part of a ritual back in that time that two people would come together and they would make a covenant between each other. They would pass in between the sacrifices and basically saying, "If I break this covenant, let me be like this sacrifice split into two." And in that moment, and Abraham, he fell asleep. And God passed through those offerings himself. It was an unconditional, "I'm going to be there. I'm never going to break my promise to you." Personal, loving, creator God who's faithful through all generations. This is the God we praise. This is the God we say, "Thank you, Lord." This is the God we serve who has come into our hearts and made us new creations. This is God the Father, the creator, awesome God. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. And what else is God? He is infinite. That means forever past and forever future, his love endures. Not just the short time that we are here on earth, but into the future, the new heavens, the new creation, his love endures forever. Through all the generations. So who is God? And what do we do with this information? Do we just say, cool, that's awesome, let's get some lunch? Is there some type of response that we can give? Because in knowing who God is, we can then know who we are in relation to him. And this short little psalm gives us that light into who God is. God is a good, personal, creator God. And we are his people. Because God is Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the creator, the redeemer, the triune personal God, who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Good Shepherd, Elohim, the Strong One, above all others who are called God, El Shaddai, the God of strength, God of Most High, everlasting God, God Almighty, God who sees, the God who is, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord of peace, the Lord your sanctifier, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of recompense, the God who smites, the God who is present, the God who heals, the God who has conquered death. Amen. But here's the most important one. God is love. God is love. Because you cannot have the greatest commandment being love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, everything of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself without God being love. And he showed us that love with Christ on the cross. And Christ resurrected, that we get to share in that death and that resurrection into eternal life. Now, we could try to spend years, and many have, try to answer exactly who God is. We can give him a lot of names, a lot of attributes, a lot of things that he has done, but when we think about infinite God, our thoughts could never achieve anywhere close to who he probably is, which is why I'm assuming that when Moses asked, "Who do I say you are?" he simply said, "I am." Because he is the creator. So, which leads me to the final question. Who are you? Who are you in relation to God the Father? Are you part of his pasture? Is he your good shepherd? Have you called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because our God is an awesome God. Personal, loving, creator God. So as we go through these next several sermons, I want you to have that in your mind of God, show me who you are and who I am in you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for who you are and what you've done. And just everything, you blow my mind, Lord. Your infinite goodness and love. I just ask the Lord that you'd touch all of our hearts, showing us your presence, growing your presence here in our hearts, so that we may then understand who we are in you, Lord. And we pray all these things in the priceless and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.